Couple things. First of all, if you're here new, if you're here from the Pearl, if you're here for the first time, my name is PJ, and just to echo what Brad said, welcome. Welcome. What you'll know is that we do one Sunday of welcome, you feel like a guest, and then you're part of the family. We've got this thing going on in our house, and it started off with Victoria when she was a little baby, and it always made her smile, and then it grew to Evan, and now it's grown to Julia. Is usually in our kitchen, we huddle as a family, all five of us now, and they always love to do it, and we dance around and we say, part of the family, part of the family. And one day I still say, like, they love it so much, we're gonna do it at their wedding, even if it's gonna embarrass them. So I'm looking forward to the time that we can all be in a circle over here and just still be dancing around saying, part of the family. So welcome. The other thing is, I was struck because Brad hosting today, he starts off and he says that he woke up with a smile. In my head, I always just thought that Brad went to sleep with a smile, he slept with a smile, he woke up with a smile, he walks around with a smile. Like, I don't know why that's news in your family that you woke up with a smile. I just thought, like, if you come to know Brad, he's just always got a smile. So I didn't think that that was newsworthy, because we already know you just walk around with a smile, right? So, and then over here, Mr. and Mrs. Kerwin, welcome. It is so amazing to see you, and I'm sure you are incredibly excited with your new grandchild. Welcome. When I explained Dan and Liz did the announcement a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke to you about how I reacted at family camp when I found out that they were pregnant, his parents were with them, and they probably saw this freak jumping around, crying, thinking they were so happy. So I'm so glad that you came back and you weren't sort of put off by my enthusiasm of what's to come. But bless you guys. It's great to have you over here. And it's just such an amazing testimony to see you here with your grandchild. It's just God's favor and God's blessing is amazing upon your family. So welcome. So we got a couple of... there's one other announcement I got to say. Len's not here. And I said, if you're not going to be over here, it's likely that your seat's going to be replaced. And I see that Jeff is already over here. So Len and Laurie, who are our senior pastors, they are visiting their youngest grandchild with all the other grandchildren in Australia. So they're away for the next, it'll be still another two Sundays, and then they're back that Monday. But I can tell you, if any of you have come to know Laurie, Laurie has got a thing of FOMO. Fear of missing out. She hates it. Like, even in our family things, if we're doing something, she wants to be involved. And I can tell you now this weekend that she's got some serious FOMO about what's going on over here and what's moving. So if you know her, send her a text, maybe send her a picture and say we miss her and just really hype up the FOMO. So maybe she'll never leave. She'll just stay right over there. But her chair is going to be replaced. She's going to have to sit somewhere else over there. Anyways, so one of the things that I wanted to do today is, and I think it's important, as you come in and as we start sort of this togetherness and this grafting process, I think it's important that we share a time about what is the plan. And ultimately, what is the mission of the church? I think it's important that we just spend some time behind it so that you get to understand sort of what we're coming behind at Enjoy Life Church as we all come together and what it is that we want to, where it is we want to go and how sensitive we want to be to what Jesus is doing through Enjoy Life Church, focusing on a mission, focusing on our values, and then ultimately also just looking at what has God spoken into this church? What prophetically has God spoken into this church that we can get excited about and also press into? So that's where we're going to spend today. I'd said to Drew and... who was it? I think it was just Drew this morning. I was just saying that Drew and Emily, that it's been very rare that I've repeated a sermon, but I did this in the early fall, and I really think it's important. There's a couple of tweaks that I've done, but just to come back to what is our mission, what is our values, where are we going, and what prophetically has been spoken to this church, because this is one body, and we're going to be unified by what God is doing. So, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for what it is that you're doing. I thank you that there is a new thing. I thank you that it is fresh. Lord, I pray that as we press in more to what it is that you're doing, our senses, our spiritual senses may be just open so that we may perceive every aspect of what you're doing, what you're saying, and how it is that you're going to do it. Lord, I just... I pray that this is something that is not just initial energy, but this is energy that is going to continue to propel the mission of this church, of what it's going to do in the city, what it's going to do in this province, what it's going to do in this country, what it can do in the world, and what it's ultimately going to do in your kingdom. Lord, today I know that you are smiling at the unity that is just poured out here. And Lord, I pray that that unity just continues to hold firm. Bless my tongue. Lord, I pray that ears will be opened, hearts will be softened. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So where we've got to start is, one of the things that we have to ask is, what is the plan? And I always like to stay over there with an open question is, what is the plan? And sometimes what can happen is that a lot of the time when man gets involved in a plan, it doesn't really go too well. And I mean, there is just, if you look at the biblically, it's just always been a recurrence of where man gets involved and where man tries to orchestrate on his own, it hasn't been necessarily a good thing. The thing is that we are part of a church. We are part of the bride. The bride that Jesus is coming back for. And we get to be part of that picture. And that is something that we cannot lose sight of as we start to think of what is this plan that is going to come behind and what is going to fuel this church. And I spent quite a bit of time in the second half of last year, just even as we spoke as elders, and even as this this grafting with the pearl was starting to take more and more momentum, in us understanding what is the plan? Is this something that was just orchestrated by us? Or is it something that is truly that God wants to happen? And I can tell you, I shared with it on this side, I shared it with the Pearl Church last week, is that we found ourselves in a situation where this has been something that's been preparing and coming for some time. This is something that didn't just happen where it said, hey, this would be a good idea, let's have a coffee, let's figure it out. As a matter of fact, if we go back all the way to May last year, and the idea, the fresh perspective, what God wanted to do, we were perceiving, we actually took a step back and said, we're not going to engage until we've spent the entire summer just praying about it and saying, God, you come and show, is this really what you want? And I think that that's an important piece where we start this morning, is that we don't want to build the church based on man's plans. That's right. We don't want to build a church that is formulated on the things that we're trying to structure and we're trying to force. When we allow God to move and we get to be part of that picture and allow Him to formulate the plan and we come behind that plan, that is when beautiful things start to happen. Yeah. And I've been so encouraged on both sides when I hear about the testimonies of just people perceiving what is going to happen. Before they even knew, before this was even announced, the testimonies that have come through from both sides of the churches where they've said, this was something that was on our heart. This is something that we've been praying for some time. This is something that we were here and we just sensed that this is where God wanted us to be, but we were with the pearl and we didn't understand how that was going to happen. And through that, God has been already preparing hearts. God's been preparing your hearts because you are part of this body. Right? So I go back to Moses, and in this preparation of last year, one of the things that when you look at Moses, Moses was a guy that actually didn't really want to do or be part of God's picture. God was saying, Moses, I need you to do this. And he gave 100 reasons as to why he shouldn't be doing it. And God would constantly just support him, bring along the likes of Aaron, bring along the likes of just people throughout the story that would help him fulfill God's plan of what he had for Moses to lead the Israelites. And every time Moses pushed back to God, God in his infinite patience still just said, yeah, I've got a plan for you. I got a plan. I'm going to make this work. Are you perceiving what I am doing? And through that, I will pour out the plan that you can follow. So where I want to start is that the blueprint or the design of this church is not something that is going to be man-made orchestrated. If you come to the leadership of this church and you say, what is the plan? It might sound passive, but I'm telling you, it's very active when we're saying we're taking a step back and we are sensitive to what God is doing in this church, through this church, and what he wants to do in the kingdom using the people that make up this body. So I want to start off in Exodus chapter 25. And there's a couple of things that, just to liken it to. So we go back to Moses, and this was God's instruction to Moses in building out the tabernacle. And through that, there was all these things that where it was a design, whether it be the tabernacle, whether it be the ark, whether it be the priestly garments. There was this constant, just, it was God's design. And there's a couple of things I want to highlight over there. So chapter 25, it starts off, it goes there, verse 2, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering from everyone whose hearts prompt them to give. And this isn't so much about the giving part. Brad's done a great job of that. It's more about God prompting hearts. And that's where I want to start, is without the people, without the body, we've got a pretty dry thing when you've just got a group of leaders. But yet God is prompting your hearts to be part of something that is going to be special and has been special. Prompting your hearts, talking to you to say, this is your house. Prompting your hearts with the skills that you have, with the resources that you have, to say, this is a church where you can pour in. And as a leader, that's what God was saying to Moses, that as a leader of the Israelites, is just wait for the people whose hearts will be prompted to come and bring and be part of this picture, to build what it is that I want built. And then you go to verse 8, it says there, make a tabernacle, all its furnishings, exactly like the pattern I will show you. So there was an instruction of obedience that was required for Moses. Do it exactly like the pattern I will show you. I can tell you, as a leadership group, you cannot come over there outside of being engaged with perceiving what God wants to be done, just making up your own plan. If you do that, if Moses did that, that design would have been completely off. Yeah. If Moses did that, it would have been a shadow of what it is that God wanted to achieve. And we've got to be sensitive to that. We've got to be sensitive to God giving us the pattern. God giving us the blueprint that lays the foundation for what it is that he wants to do through Enjoy Life. If we move on to the next slide there, please, Sherry, thanks. Again, verse 40, it says there, it repeats it. See that you make them according to the pattern shown to you in the mountain. The pattern that was given to you by me. The pattern that was given to Moses by God. Right? And I'm going to ask you that we can stand here as leaders, and we could say, yeah, that God has given us the pattern. But I'm telling you now that God is speaking to you too. As a member of this body, God is speaking to you in ways that is not necessarily speaking to me. And we're going to get to it, but as we build out this church, you need to realize that God is speaking, God is giving designs. I know in my heart of hearts that God gave Corey the design for this drum cage. I know that because I could hear it this morning. The way in which it was contained was beautiful. So if you see that, you might not have noticed it. I know Helmut is very thankful, but the way in which we contained the drums, Corey, thank you.
And Jeremy.
The design was downloaded. So thank you for being obedient and listening to God and my text. But anyway, there are skills that we don't see these things. But there are things that are bought, and God's speaking to you. And as members of this body, you need to be sensitive to what God is telling you so that we could actually extend beyond just our own mindset, but really be in tune with what God is doing. The other one over there is that there are skilled workers. Not all of us have the same gifts. It's by God's grace and grace alone that all of us have been equipped with different gifts, right? All of us find ourselves with a different skill set. And all of those skill sets can be used to build the local church that is Enjoy Life. All of you, whether you're here for the last 15 years or this is your first Sunday, you know that there is a skill or skills that God has given you. Yeah. And those skills are not by coincidence. Those skills are not to be wasted, But those skills are to be poured in, just like it was for the Israelites that gave that God prompted the hearts of the Israelites to support Moses in what God wanted to do. God is prompting your heart with skills and how you can use your resources to really build out this church. And then the last one over there is, till all the skilled workers to whom I've given wisdom. It's just to repeat it again. For those that you have got skills, that God is speaking to you, bring them and bring them to the house and lavish them upon the house, because God wants to build something special over here. And it's not on one person's shoulders, but it's on the body's shoulders that is so important. So I wanted to spend some time over there because it's important that we speak about the plan, the roadmap, the how things are going to be done. And I can tell you now that it's one step at a time, what God is doing and how God is building this church. And you go back over the last 15 years, it even extends beyond those 15 years, back in South Africa, where Len and Laurie found themselves asking what God is asking them to do next. And in there, there was a place in their heart to say, we need to build a church. We need to plant a church here in Edmonton. And even that's a whole story where I don't want to spend some time today. But it started with the prompt of one person's heart. And then two people's hearts, and then three people's hearts. The next thing you know, you've got a South African contingent in Edmonton. And then so along, just more and more come along, and it's just beautiful to see the people and the different walks of life and the different journeys and the different stages of faith that God has knit together to make this body that is a church that we find ourselves here in Edmonton. So when we ask ourselves, what is the mission? And it's important because I think when we speak about a mission that we come behind, that's important for a group of people to say, look, what am I coming behind? What am I following? What is the mission? What is the purpose of the church? And I'm going to start off by saying that the mission is not short of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to go to the ends of the world and make disciples of men and women, brothers and sisters. We start there. And I think that's important because we cannot lose sight of what God has primarily called us to do as believers, as brothers and sisters, that our mission is to make disciples. Not just disciples of the leadership in a church, but disciples of Jesus. I've said it before that we are not trying to make disciples of Len and Laurie, or PJ and Mel, or Jeff and Laurie, or whoever is being leaders. That is not the purpose. And if you've got that, you are wrong. It is making disciples of Jesus, to have them follow the ways and be Christ-like, because it's from that perspective that they would be able to go on and truly make disciples of Jesus. So I don't want to lose sight of the fact that, in short, our mission is not short of the Great Commission. That is, go and make disciples of men. How do we do that? We do that by bringing God's word to life through the local church so that hearts may be transformed and we can reach communities both near and far. And I'll come behind that and I'll tie that to the prophetic that has been spoken over this church. But we believe that the way in which we can make disciples of men, disciples of Jesus, making those disciples of Jesus, is through the local church, bringing his word to life. Most importantly, that we transform hearts. And through that, we'll reach communities, whether it be in Greenfield, whether it be in Glenora, whether it be wider Edmonton, whether it be Canada, Lord knows it needs it, and then ultimately for the kingdom. So we start with the what. We want to make disciples of Jesus. The how, we do it through the local church, we do it through the word, and we do it through the communities. And those are our three values, and I want to spend some time on those values before I get to the prophetic that has been spoken of the church. So the first value has to start off with the word. So the word is the foundation of our church. And when you look at it, there's two parts. There's a dynamic that exists over here. You've got the living word, and you've got the written word, okay? Jesus is the living word, and he ultimately is the foundation of this church. But then it is the scriptures that faithfully demonstrate to that living word being spread. Okay, so I don't want to misconstrue here. When we speak about the word, you can say, well, which one are you talking about? Are you speaking about the living word? Are you speaking about the written word? We're speaking about both.
That's right.
Right? But first and foremost, our foundation of the word is Jesus Christ. He is the living word. And it's basically that when it comes down to scripture, that's faithfully the truth that points back to Jesus and who he is. Right. So I want to come back to a couple of things just to explain why it is that we start over here. So first of all, the living word was there in the beginning. Jesus was there in the beginning. In John 1, it speaks about in the beginning was the word. It was alive. It was living. So in the beginning of the, before the earth was formed was the word. Why would we not start at the beginning of this church being the living word that is Jesus?
Yeah.
But when we speak about the scriptures, we speak about the scriptures in the context of them too being alive. It cannot be something that is just a book that sits on a shelf or just sits over here. It is something that has to be alive in order for it to be absorbed, in order for it to reach communities, to make disciples of Jesus. It has to be activated. And that's where I just love the way in which the dynamic nature of the word is described in Hebrews 4. And it speaks about it being sharper than a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And what I love about that is that's not something that is passive. That's actually something that is actually quite strong, quite aggressive. It's going to divide. When Brad is speaking about his dad having a large machete, and he's walking around through a jungle, just swinging through the creepers that are blocking his way. That is very much the word and how it's going to cut through this world.
Yeah.
And you need to understand that when you speak the truth, you need to appreciate that the truth may offend.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to share with you is offense is taken, it's not given. So when you are speaking the truth and that word becomes alive, and you're using it where we stand over here and preach. We want to preach the truth. We want to preach the living word that is Jesus. But we cannot protect that. You cannot go back because it may offend someone. You've got to speak the truth because that's what we've been asked to do. And at the same time, as a body, there is an accountability for you to hold us accountable to say, are you lining up with the truth? So when we say that we value the word, the living word that is Jesus, and then the scriptures and how it faithfully points back to who Jesus is, that's important. And when you come back to the design, this blueprint that's being created, I love the fact that the word is described as the lamp that just lights up by our feet. When you think about how we walk through this world, when you think about how it is that Jesus will be revealed, he can be revealed in his spirit, but he's also revealed just in his word. Day by day, the living bread just to light up your path. So I want to encourage you today, just as an aside, that if you do find yourself in a place that is dark, in a place that is spiritually dark, in a place where you need the light, I'm telling you, start with the word. Start with the word. Open up the word and start reading because it is a lamp to your feet.
Yeah.
And that might not give you the answer of where you're going in 5 years' time, but it might just be the lamp for your feet today.
Yeah.
When there is a lamp at your feet, it's not a lighthouse that's out there. It's a lamp at your feet that you can just walk, just one day at a time. And that is something that we value. The second piece that is a value for us is the local church.
Yeah,
I caught my breath over there. It wasn't a sigh like, oh, it's a local church. It was just like I needed to catch my breath. But the local church is God's vessel for nurturing believers and making his name known, making his love known. I love the fact and the way we describe it about the local church is a vessel. The vessel for the body. You are part. You're on board on that vessel. But it's in that vessel where you as a believer gets nurtured so that we can make the living word's love known to you, Jesus' love known to you, but that you too will be activated so that you may go out and make Jesus' love known to those. The local church is the foundation in which it is the bride. And a couple of weeks ago, I was chatting to my cousin. He lives in the U.S. He's very distressed at the moment with the political landscape that's going on. I actually never brought it up. He brought it up. And he actually brought up quite a bit. I said to Mel, it was actually quite funny because he texted me and all I asked is how he was, and he dropped me an essay of how he really was. And I was like, whoa, this is a lot. One of the things is that he knows my love for Jesus. He knows that I am actively a part of this body. And I didn't ask him. He brought it up and he said, Pete, I want you to know, I'm all for God, but church isn't for me. And I read that and I was like, but then you don't get God. Right. You don't get God. This isn't a pick and choose of you. This is the bride, people. This is the bride. This would be like me coming to your house with Mel and you saying, PJ, you can stay, but Mel needs to go. I can guarantee you I'm leaving with Mel.
Right.
Depends how good the... No. I can guarantee you that I'm leaving with Mel, my bride, right? So you can't have one without the other. There's this concept that I can have a spiritual life and I can have a meaningful life by understanding, by I know God, but church isn't for me because church has offended me. Church has hurt me. The list goes on as to why church isn't for you. And I'm telling you now that if you don't get the concept of a local church, you don't get God. You might know, but there isn't yeah.
Right.
There isn't yeah, and that's truly where hearts are transformed to make disciples of Jesus. The body is so important. And I've said this before, but you can have an amazing ministry outside of church. You could have you could be a traveling evangelist. You could be on the mission field. You could be an amazing prophet. You could be an amazing teacher. You could be an amazing shepherd, but I'm telling you now, if it's disconnected from the local church, there's something missing.
That's right.
If you're not tethered to the bride, in anything that you do, you're missing a fundamental piece. Because how do you protect? How is it that you can go and make disciples of Jesus and not point them to somewhere that they can go afterwards?
Yeah.
So often what you find is that there's an amazing launch, there's an amazing excitement when people come to Jesus. People come to Jesus and they can come to Jesus down at City Hall, they can come to Jesus on a mission field in Africa, they can come to Jesus on Times Square, wherever it may be. There may be a prophetic word that's given to them. But if it is not structured in the way that God intended, there is something that is missing. I want to just... speak. You can go to the next slide over there, Sherry. In Ephesians 4, I love this piece over here. So it says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you understand that God gave us the local church? And through that, you can see over here, Christ himself gave us leadership. Christ himself valued leadership so much between the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. That was his heart, that there would be sound leadership. And it's all been gifts that have been given by God to leaders. But the leadership is right. But beyond that, why did he do it? It's to equip the saints.
Yeah.
The purpose of the local church is to equip the saints so that you may understand and you may appreciate God's love, Jesus' love, and what he's done for you, because it's from there that you may be propelled out to go and make disciples of Jesus. If you're doing it outside the strength of a local church, it is a problem. And God, in his infinite grace, has given each and every one of you gifts of the Spirit. There are gifts that are sitting over here that may or may not have even been realized at this point. There may be gifts that you may have been in church all your life and you don't even realize that God may be doing a new thing where there may be a new spiritual gift that may be bubbling up. And you should be excited about it. But it's not yours to keep. It's not yours to use. It's for yours to be lavished upon the local church. You look at this body over here, each and every one of you, whether if you're part of Lighthouse or whether you are, I don't want to put an age in it, over 80, over 90, whatever it is. If you're young or you're old, it doesn't matter. There is gifts that have been given to you, and those gifts, God's prompting your heart to share them in this church. There are so many things that God wants to use and God wants to do. And really, sometimes I think that we may be the limitation. We may be the limitation, just depending on how lavishly we want to pour out those gifts, pour out those skills for the wider body, for the greater body that is the local church. God gave us the local church so that we may equip the saints. Equip the saints, there is a, when you equip someone, you prepare them for something. You're preparing them to go out beyond the walls of this local church, to go and reach the suburbs of Edmonton, to go and reach the workplace, to go and reach the places where some of us will never sit. It might be political, it might be in business, it might be in the schools. Wherever it may be, God's word and God's love needs to be known, and you have the ability to go out and share that. But it starts with the local church. And then the last one is community. Our heart is for community. You need to understand that community extends beyond just suburbs, beyond just Edmonton. I smile because my, you know, a lot of the time you come over here for years, you hear about the American evangelist that goes to Africa. Well, I'm the African evangelist that's come across to the continent of America, and loud and proud. No, the thing is that God's community extends beyond the walls or the boundaries of this province, of the city, of this country. And some of you are sitting over here where there is a preparation for you to go out into the mission field that can reach those global communities. But it also starts here. It starts here of what are you doing in your community today? Community in church, so your church family, your community at home, your family, your community in your office, if you're in business, your community in school. For the Lighthouse guys, if you find yourselves in school, there is a heart for people to encounter Jesus. I was very proud yesterday. Victoria turned 6. And they had a princess party. And part of the princess party, she had all these girls come into our house in their little princess dresses. And then one of the surprises was Elsa herself came to visit, right? So she's sitting over there, and she's trying to engage with people. It's like, hey, guys, so, like, let's get to know each other. Like, give me your name, and then tell me what your magical power is, and okay. Standing over there, like sipping my tea, I'm like, oh, this is going to go south quick. But anyway, I had to just be patient because whatever is happening in the back over there is working. I want to tell you that, like, whatever, if you're volunteering in the children's ministry, I'm telling you it is working because I'm going to tell you why. So the first thing is they're speaking about magical powers. Then one of the girls stands up and she's like, I've got a question. She's like, yes. And then she's got this weird princess giggle. She's like, yes. She said, Jesus died on the cross for us, and his blood was poured out for us. So Elsa, she's like, oh, that's a nice story. Yes, we've got religion too in Norway. So I'm like, okay. Anyway, so now it comes down to Elsa having to leave. And the same girl is like, I can't remember how she said it. She's like, yeah, Jesus died for us, and you can speak to him. And then Victoria at the end of the time, she's like, yes, all you have to do is close your hands and close your eyes and pray and say, Jesus. And she says this prayer. And I think by that stage, Elsa was like, what did I come in here? Is this like a, is this like an intervention of six-year-olds that just want to speak the gospel? But isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? Like the boldness of, I can tell you now, like I stand there and I look back at it and I laugh, and there's girls, way to go. And that one girl, she's 4 or 5, and then Victoria turns 6. I'm like, way to go. But if I do a check in my spirit, am I that bold? Am I that bold to have someone come into my house who's there and we just like, man, we're just going to hit you with the truth. We're going to hit you with the truth. Because you know what? This might be the only time you ever hit the truth. And those girls were free to do it, and we should be free the same. Victoria and Danny showed me a lesson yesterday that you need to be bold and unashamed of your belief, because they believe, and they did. I don't know what happened to Elsa. She went back to Arendelle. The girls were very concerned. Quick side story, Evan was in his ninja suit, and he kept coming up to Elsa and kept saying, "You're fake." And then we had to usher Evan away, but he's like saying, "Your hair is fake." Anyways, wow. So don't let that be the detracting story. The fact is that these girls were bold, and we should be bold too. We're the ones that's teaching. And if you are in the children's ministry back over there, good on you, because it is working. You are activating young evangelists that are out there to encounter Jesus. And I'm standing over here, and I'm looking at Dan and Teresa. And as welcome desks, we've got people that may, for the first time, step. And I know that there's a whole team behind you that are on welcome committee. And I know Adele is somewhere over here, and her hand was up to say that she wants to be part of the welcome committee. Good on you guys. Because when a door is open to a church, there may be a resistance. There may be a weight of shame. And what better way to encounter someone with a friendly face to just say, welcome. We are wired for relationship. God has made us for relationship. God has made us for relationship with Him, and He wants us to have a relationship with others. And all people want is to be welcome. So there is a specific calling on the welcome committee. And there is a mantle that is associated with that evangelist heart that will be over there and open the door and just say, welcome. So keep going, and don't stop there. If you're in the shop, if you're in school, if you are a six-year-old birthday party and there is an Anna speaking about magic, you basically say, man, Jesus died for you, and I hope you know that. And oh, by the way, this is how you pray. Okay. So, you guys with me? Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus. How we do that and what we value is by the foundation being the living word, Jesus. That being told through the truth that is the scriptures. We value the local church. We will fight for the local church, the bride of Jesus, who He is coming back with and coming back for, and you are part of. And then community. And I'm going to show you how this is all tied into some of the prophetic that has been spoken over this church over the years. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to just finish with 10 prophetic words that have been spoken corporately over this church. And you can see how it ties into what's been driving, what's been fueling what we value as a church. The first one is this was probably one of the more recent ones. The roots of this church are good. The roots of the pearl, I'm going to say two, are good. You can have things, you can go ups and downs, you can have some things, you can have weather that may change the fruit. You may have seasons that may limit a harvest. But if your roots are good, you still have the ability to grow. If the roots are good, you still have the ability to produce. And we start with that I'm telling you today, that if you're visiting or if you've been here 15 years, the reason why you want to come behind a church that has good roots is because of its ability to achieve a mission, a God-fueled, inspired mission. The second one, and Brad touched on it, is that we're a generous church. We are a generous church, generous with our finances, generous with our gifts, generous with our skills, generous with our time. It always amazes me about the amount of engagement that we see within our church. Those that are willing to come behind and bring their skills or give their time, and it might not necessarily be corporately, but to hear the stories where someone who has a problem with their car, and they call in someone who knows how to fix a car, and that person is going to help that person. Or someone that needs help with their finances or preparing a budget, going to someone who understands that and has basically mastered the skill where they could spend time with them. So it's not just about what you bring to the local church as an organization, but more so what you bring to the local church as a body, right? And through that, sometimes we always just see generosity with money. Yes, that's a piece to it. Let's not deny it. But the reality is that there is more to generosity. How you give your time, how you give of your skills, How to come on a Wednesday night to practice for band and then come early on a Sunday morning, even if you've got kids. The only one, the thorn amongst the roses, was Mikael this morning. All the others were ladies over here. I was just watching. And I was going to say all the people had hair touching their shoulders, but it wasn't for everyone over there. I was just measuring over here. It's just a bit high by your ears, so it's okay. But giving of your time and giving of yourself, that there is living out that local church. That there is living out what God has called us to do. That there is not just having a fancy mission statement, but it's actually living out that mission, which is so important. The other thing that it speaks to is that we'll go to two services. Right now, we only one service. Okay? But what that tells me, what I get so excited about that, and this has been spoken about many times, is that our church will grow. Our church is going to grow. Our churches coming together has already seen growth. I love what Laurie said over there, that 1 plus 1, when you speak about synergy, sometimes they say 1 plus 1 equals 3. She made me realize that my vision is too small, because she said, no, I think 1 plus 1 equals 5,000, right? And just by taking the steps of being together and being unified, yeah, gives us the ability to start thinking way more. One of the things, we got to think about that. You can't just have the same people doing service 1 and service 2. You need more people stepping up. You need more skills, more gifts, more, just all aspects, more fruits being released so that we can carry this together. Because why else would you want to grow? Yeah. If the same people are carrying the growth, why would you want to grow? But the idea behind it is that you would be able to just have these skills released, and from there, you'd be able to grow. It says over there, speaking about growth, that we'll outgrow this church. I don't know what that means, but it gets me excited. I don't know when, but it gets me excited. And I don't think that you can go outgrow church before you've gone through two services. But we do speak to growth. And the thing about growth is, we could sit back here and say, all right, Lord, go and grow. But what are we doing today to make sure that we're prepared for growth? Yeah. And again, it comes down to how we as a body carry the local church. Because if we are not preparing for growth, if we're not preparing the foundation, if we are not digging around those roots that are good, we're not going to be ready to handle that growth, which is something that just, I don't believe that God would move in that season. He will wait. God is a patient God, and He will wait. And then, I like this one, number 5, is our current church will become a church for another church. Become the building for another church. Why is that important? If you go and look around, the number of times we've been approached to say, hey, would you like your building? We're like, well, what do you want to do with it? And it's like, well, we want to build apartment blocks. And we're like, well, why would we want to do that? Why? We want to take land here. Yes. We want to put a stake in the ground to say, Edmonton, God is yours. Right? And we want to do our part. Why would we want to open up this building so it could be demolished for someone else just to come and live? What we want this to be is a lighthouse in the community, a lighthouse in the city. So we want to stand on that. And that was something that our heart was speaking to, but at the same time, that is something that is spoken over us, which tells me that there is another church, or perhaps another church within this church, that is going to fill these walls one day. What a celebration that would be. Okay, let's move over. Raise up and release people in their giftings. This is something that Joy Life has been known for, is that that's where you got to be careful. If you come with an idea, it's going to be yours, you're going to run with it. But the thing is that we don't want you just to be sitting and just be absorbing. There's a time for that. There's a season for that. God is good, and we want to see. We don't want to promote before one is ready. But at the same time, we also don't want you being comfortable where you're not growing and you're not being released. If you can see, sometimes people standing out can see a gifting that is upon your shoulders, then you need to be released. I'm looking at Aaron. Amazing voice. It's time he gets released up onto the stage. Right? He needs to sing. And now he's dipping his hat. That's why he bought a cap today, because he doesn't want to be seen. But I'm telling you, I was there last week, and maybe it's time. Yeah. You know, so just seeing. And there's other things. There are people with prayer giftings, prophetic giftings. There are people with teaching giftings. There are people with leadership giftings that need to be raised up and need to be released. And we need to see that. And that's the way that the body flows, and that's the way that the body grows. And then we are seeing that we see leaders will come and receive healing. This is something that's been spoken multiple times. But just having a place where leaders can find healing. Planting church, we've seen it and it costs. We've done it and it costs. Mm-hmm. To plant a church is, you basically strip off your best We give of our best, right? Why would you want to give your worst and it fails? Like, right. It costs to plant. We've done it. We put up something in the north over there, and it's like you put it out and you say, God, you know, or you say to your congregation, if anybody whose hearts have been prompted by this, please come and speak. And you just like see these people give you a phone call. And you're like, oh, Jesus, not you. Why are you going? We love you. You're amazing. And it's just like, Lord willing, you got to go. And we got to trust that there is someone else that is coming up, that is coming through. And God is seeing this plan work out. And then we see just the seeding of missions. This, if you look at the heart of Len and Laurie, they spent 27 years in the mission field. There is still a heart to see missions. And when I speak to some of you, when I speak to some of the things that you believe God has called you to do, there is a mission call on your heart. I always say it, but I look at my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, and they want to go across Africa. I don't know how it's going to work with another two kids on the way, but they're going to fly a plane across Africa, and they are going to reach the hearts of people. That's what their heart is. Why not? Why have we got to shrink by our circumstances and rather trust God? I want you to move and open up a door. So if there is a mission call on your life, this is something that we want to see. And we see a bridge that's also been spoken, a bridge between Canada and Africa, right? That's not just misspoken, and I'm not just saying that with a South African accent. I think it's for far more than just South Africa. I think it's for the continent and vice versa. And we see many Africans within our group over here, which is amazing, right? It's multicultural. And then this is the one I love to end with. We see many generations to come. And I want to finish off with that one there. Because what we're doing today is not just for ourselves. What we are building here, what we are preparing of here, why we come here on a Sunday morning, why we fellowship, why we knit together and be sensitive what God is doing, is not for ourselves. It's for future generations to come. My hope is that my kids will see this church by the way beyond my life on this earth. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah. And I know this gets weird because I'd rather just speak about it to Evan. Wouldn't it be amazing if Evan marries one of your daughters? Can't marry my daughters. No, that's off. Fords, it's blocked. Okay. No, but why would you not want that? When you think of the world that we live in, why would you not have the kids over here establishing solid friendships, Christian friendships? Why would you not want a Christian boy to marry your Christian girl that has been raised up in a church? Right? People might think that sounds like a cult. It's not. It's just, why would you not want that? Why would you not want the best for your children? And when we think about it, that there are still many, many more generations to come. We want to see this. My prayer is that this church will outrun all of you. That's not to scare you. That's to say that you can come behind something that is going to be far greater than what you are, but you get to be part of that picture. All right. So that there is just an overview of our mission. It's an overview of our values. It's an overview of what's been spoken over this church. And ultimately, it's an invitation for you to come in. It's an invitation for you to come behind that mission. It's and again, if you've been here for over a decade, maybe it's a new invitation for saying, hey, maybe I haven't stepped in. Or maybe you're here for a second Sunday or a first Sunday, and I'm saying to you, you're invited. And it's not just me. But if you're over here, it's not by coincidence. God is inviting you. God is prompting your heart to be in this house, and he's pushing you along because he wants to do a story. He wants to use you as part of his story. He wants to use you as part of what he's doing in this season, in this time in Edmonton. It's not by coincidence. And I've shared my story with many of you over here, but for 3 years when I arrived over here, I did nothing. I did nothing. I was the guy that sat at the back of the seat, and while I came to church and while I wrestled with things, I was the first to leave. I did nothing. And my life could show for it. There was an emptiness. And it was around the third year where I stepped in. And when you step in, my life was transformed. And when I say to you that part of our mission is to see hearts transformed, I'm a living testimony of what this church has done for me. God prompting my heart and orchestrating for me to come all the way from South Africa to Edmonton. And surprise, surprise, it wasn't a direct flight. And I mean that proverbially and figuratively. It was not direct to get over here. And he planted me over here. And he said, PJ, I've got a work for you to do over here. And through that, You just push yourself in, and through that there is fulfillment. And there's fulfillment for each and every one of you. And that's the exciting piece in the picture that you get to be part of. So I'm going to let Brad come up. You can come and finish. We can bring the band up, and I'll let you finish.
Yeah, the band can come on up.